Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lisa Rosalino of the Musician Social Club. I have a guest on the show that I just feel overwhelmed with having on the show because this guy goes back to the days where they called country music hillbilly music. And, I mean, he's known some greats. He has some great music, storytelling music, music that'll make you literally cry. And I have him on the phone right now, and his name is Eddie Ray Franks Jr. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just looking at your websites and all that you do, and you've been playing out. I know you've had some problems with your health, but you bounced back. And I'm going to start off the show with one of the songs that gives you your name, just so people get a little feel for you before we start talking. So I'm going to start playing That Man in Black. Here it is.
Okay.
My hero, that man in black. We all knew him as Johnny Cash. He traveled many roads, some good, some bad. Even when he smiled, he looked a little sad. He never put himself above the poor and beaten down. He made you feel like one of us coming through your town. He stepped out on the stage, smiled and said, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." Then turned around real slow. He swung that old guitar from on his back. Then his three-piece band played that clickety-clack. His style was pure and simple, like nothing heard before. He left the crowd all cheering, crying out for more. He always tried to please you, gave it all he had. We never will forget him. His name was Johnny Cash.
About Johnny Cash. So tell me about yourself. This hour is yours. Tell me anything
okay.
You want to know. Tell me the old stories. I love that kind of stuff. Go for it.
Okay. I knew Johnny Cash. His Johnny Cash's best friend was Johnny Horton. And Johnny Horton taught me how to play the guitar. I guess I was about the age of 6 years old when I first got my lessons from him. He walked in on me, and I was singing a 45 record of his called Honky Tonk Man. And he says, Eddie, he says, you do pretty good on that record. You need to learn how to play the guitar. And so he started teaching me how to play, and the first chord he taught me was D chord. And I learned how to play the D, and then I learned how to play the A, and then I learned how to play the C, the three chords there. And Johnny Cash and Johnny Horton were very good friends. They went fishing a lot, and I guess they sung a lot on the Louisiana Hayride back then. And I sung with Johnny on the Louisiana Hayride Honky Tonk Man when I was about 6.5 years old with him. And it was a thrill to do that when I was a kid. Johnny Horton died when I was 13. And that was the last time I ever saw Johnny Cash, was at Johnny Horton's funeral. But Johnny Cash and Johnny Horton went in business together. They had a fishing thing where they sold fishing lures and stuff like that, and they made quite a bit of money with that little business that they were in, and of course they made quite a bit of money singing too, but this was way before Johnny Cash married June,
Yeah,
I didn't know Johnny Cash was
time.
Do what?
Yeah. I've seen the movie with Johnny Cash and the story about him meeting June and all that. He was having a hard time, you know, before he married her, so on and so forth, but she finally put up with him. Yeah.
Well,
and the Louisiana,
Louisiana Hayride is where they sung at. My uncle, at that time, managed the Louisiana Hayride. He managed Johnny Horton, and they managed. So he was managing Webb Pierce when he started managing Johnny. Webb got mad because he was managing Johnny and Webb at the same time, and Webb left him, and he stayed with Johnny Horton. They'd done quite a bit of shows together, the Dick Clark Show and all that other stuff going up there.
Now the Louisiana Hayride, what was that? I'm a little too young. I don't remember.
Okay, Louisiana Hayride was like the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, and it was almost and would have been the Grand Ole Opry. It was just as good as the Grand Ole Opry. They came on every Saturday, Friday night, and they went off. KWKH was the radio station that announced them, and it went all over the world. And that's the way country music really got started. Before that, the Louisiana Hayride, it was hillbilly music, and it was hillbilly music even while the Louisiana Hayride was going on, and it kind of become country.
Right. Well, this song's not about him. We're gonna do some songs by you. I've been listening to your music, and I'm gonna do another song here, and then we're gonna start talking about your music. It's gonna be Gone Forevermore.
Like the leaf that has fallen and caught the wind and gone, every bird must leave its nest to make it on its own. As the sun sets in the evening, you can hear a whippoorwill cry. Time's descent, believing it's slowly passing by. As I look back at the past, I remember my younger years. The day that I left home brings back memories of mama's tears. These few words she said to me as I walked on out the door. You won't be coming back this way anymore. A part of me is gone forevermore. Like the leaf that had fallen and caught the wind and gone. Every bird must leave its nest to make it on its own. As the sun sets in the evening, you can hear a whippoorwill cry. Time's just simply leaving, it's slowly passing by. Well, I moved away and started a family of my own. I was sitting back in my easy chair when I heard the telephone. It's your brother, your mother, well, she's gone. Well, I fell to my knees in the middle of the floor. She won't be coming back no more. A part of me is gone forevermore. Like the leaf that had fallen and caught the wind and gone. Every bird must leave its nest to make it on its own. As the sun sets in the evening, you can hear a whippoorwill cry. Time's just simply leaving, it's slowly passing by.
Was that song written about your mother?
Yes, it was. I wrote that the day she died. I got the call from my brother while I was sitting in my easy chair watching TV, and my wife answered the phone. And when I walked out the door after I found out that she was dead, and this was in July, a leaf fell from the tree. And that's what started me writing the song. And I wrote the song all the way up to Arkansas. We were in Texas, and I wrote the song all the way up to Arkansas and finished it by the time I got there. And I didn't finish the music, but I finished the words to it. And then I wrote the music later, and we recorded it.
I noticed some backup vocals.
That was Dexter Mathis. That was Dean Mathis's son, and quite a guy. And my cousin Ben Franks, that was on that song. The two people that were backing me up on that. When you have backup singers, you have to have some pretty good singers that can harmonize real good with my voice. And the harmony that he had and everything matched my voice pretty well, so we left it in there, and he done a real good job on it.
Well, you definitely have. Well, see, we look at it as country. You know, I've kind of, you know, the Grand Ole Opry and all that, you know, is described to us as country. I watch that all the time. You know, I grew up on country music on one side of the family, and then I grew up on jazz on the other. So it was kind of weird because I kind of like have an Italian accent with country. It was really strange, but besides all that,
yeah.
But your music's very moving. And I notice you're very well known. I mean, you've got thousands and thousands of followers, and you've toured. And, you know, tell me some interesting stories about your touring or something.
Oh, well, I toured Germany while I was in the service there, and we went from bass to bass singing. We had a pretty good band that set up, and it was a lot of fun to tour overseas, but I toured the military bases over there. I didn't do any outside. We're fixing to go back in probably about a year. I hope that we're going to go back to Germany and do it. I've had a stroke, so I'm getting over it pretty good. But we do have plans to go back and do another tour there. There is a guy over there called Jim Whitman that I would like to do some tours with. I don't know if you knew of Slim Whitman or not, but Jim's kin to Slim, and he sounds exactly like Slim Whitman, and I think him and I would do a great tour together over there. I don't know if I'll be able to do it within the next year, but we're sure going to shoot for it. So.
Hey, just keep faith. You sound good. I mean, after having a stroke and being through all that you've been through, you served in Vietnam, and, you know, I mean, you're bouncing back really well, if you ask my opinion.
Well, I had the stroke 2 years ago. I threw my cane away just about 6 months ago. I actually had my stroke a year after Randy Travis had his, and Randy's still not back on his feet. He did sing Amazing Grace here about a week ago and did real good with it. It's hard, but you have to bounce back. You have to tell you what a stroke does. It kills blood brain cells in your brain, and that's what it did with me. I had a cerebellar stroke, and it killed the brain cells in my cerebellum about as big as a golf ball. But those brain cells will come back. You have to make yourself think on what you're going to do. It affected my music. I could remember how to play the notes and everything, note for note, but the words of the song were hard coming back to me. I couldn't remember them. It took my short-time memory away and my long-time memory away, and it was tough coming back from it, and I'm not back all the way from it because I still have to wear sunglasses. Everybody thinks, hey, Eddie Ray, you're wearing sunglasses because you think you're a big star. That's not it. I'm wearing sunglasses because I have a real problem seeing after this stroke. The light really bothers my eyes. But I've had an operation on my eyes and everything. I see 20/20 with sunglasses, but I'm blind without them just about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, after I seen, you know, the things that you've done and the people you've worked around and, you know, who you were taught by, and I was like, well, wow, this is like really, really, really cool. You know, and it's a shame, you know, so many people that had talent back then, or, you know, like when you were playing and stuff like that. I know you served in Vietnam, so on and so forth, but there's a lot of unknown, very talented people out there, and I listened to one of your songs the other day, and it's the first time a song ever made me cry. I mean, it was like at the end of the song, it was like just tears. I was like, going, oh my God, I'm going to have a box of tissues, you know, when I have them on this show. But the song was so moving, you know, and just to like look at a leaf fall out of a tree and write a song around it. And of course your mother passed too, but you know, that takes some what's the word I'm looking for, some real observation about the world around you, you know, and the feelings and emotion to get that type of music and emotion into music. It's not easy to do, you know, that type of country music. You know, as
well,
you compare today, everything sounds pop now. Country's kind of pop. You know, and I remember like the Coal Miner's Daughter, things like that. Those were things that I liked. But, like, I'm a lot younger than you are. Not that much, actually, but, you know.
You're quite a bit younger than I am. I'm not ashamed to tell people that I'm almost 70 years old. But I don't know, writing a song, it's easy to write words. But it's very hard to put music to it and to write music to it and to make the notes come out where they're supposed to come out and to make everything match and to write one verse that will match another verse and the stuff to where a whole band can play with it. It's easy. A lot of people write music, but to me it's not music because it doesn't match. You have to make your song match one verse to the next verse and have to be there, and they have to be in the right spot, and the chord changes have to be in the right spot, and the timing has to be right. It's something that is that I've had a difficult time doing at times, and then sometimes it just comes to me so quick that it's unbelievable how fast it comes to me. But sometimes I really have to work on it to get it right. You know? That's the way.
Well, I want to play that song that was just, it just, you stayed up all night. You told me the story where you just kind of stayed up all night and wrote this song. And I want people to hear what I'm talking about. So I'm going to play Shadows in the Wind.
Okay.
Like a song. I can hear her calling me back then. As the wind runs through my hair, I turn to see if she's there. I can feel her touching me again. They're just shadows. Shadows in the wind.
I'm here.
I can hear her. I can feel her. I can see her now and then. She's just the memory that flows by me. Time and time again, I can hear her calling me through the wind. She's just a memory, I believe I can see her again. She's just a shadow. Believe I can see her walking with me again. I can feel been. We're walking side by side once again. We're just shadows in the wind. I can hear her, I can feel her, I can see her now and then. She's just a memory that floats by me in the wind. I can hear her, I can feel her, I can see her now and then. She's just a memory that floats by me.
Well, that's not the song I thought it was. I must have.
Oh, well, that was Shadows in the Wind. I know the song you were talking about, but that was Shadows in the Wind. I wrote that one too. I wrote that about a girl that I was engaged to while I was in Vietnam, and it didn't happen. We ended up not getting married. But I kept her in my mind all those years. And when my wife passed away, Linda had been doing my computer work for, I guess, about 5 or 6 years. She was the one I wrote that song for.
Well, what happened to my song that I really, it's like brought tears to my eyes. What is the name of
that? That was Old Man and the Dog. I don't know if you got it there.
No, I guess I didn't get it. Oh, but believe me, people, you have to go onto his Reverb Nation site. You can find his music at ReverbNation.com, The Other Man in Black, and you've got to listen to that song. It's just such a touching, moving song, and it brought tears to my eyes. That's a very nice song too, I tried to put the other one. I'm like, wait a minute, that isn't it. Yeah, I should have uploaded some more songs than I did, but like I said, he can always be found on Reverb Nation, The Other Man in Black. And how do you like using these sites, these internet sites, for your publications? You're promoting,
I don't use them. I have people that use them for me, and they come in handy. You can buy my music off of through CDBaby.com, and you can go to any of the other sites to get them. I don't sell anything off of Reverb. I just use Reverb to for people to go listen to my songs. They can go to Amazon.com and get them, or any other place and buy the songs. But I don't sell anything off Reverb at all. And it's just that if they go look up my name on any of the other sites that they sell, they can get them off there. And then get them when I'm playing too. When we got a show, but
now you kind of do a little charity work once in a while to help people out. You said you were playing for seniors and the VFW, and can you tell us some things about that?
I do a lot of work with homeless veterans, and I will go anywhere and play for the homeless veterans. And I did a big show in North Carolina, and with Brian. Yeah, with Kenny Lee, we did a show with Kenny Lee and Jesse Bryant in North Carolina, and it was all hard. We drove all the way down there and everything, and we did that show, and a hurricane was coming up at the same time, but we had a pretty good turnout for the show, and it did all right. It does my heart good to do some things for people that are a little bit worse off than you, especially the ones that come back from Vietnam, or came back from Iraq or Afghanistan, and they have PTSD, and it's tough sometimes to come back into the public eye, and how they get home. Everyone's got a different story there, but they do, and I try to help them out as much as I can.
Well, you're always you say that you always wear black. You really like black, and it's not the same reason as Johnny Cash. You wore it for the poor, homeless, and beaten down, but you wear black to honor those who died in Vietnam.
I was with the 101st Airborne. We worked out of the Eshow Valley in Vietnam, and I lost my pretty much my whole platoon. There was only like two or three of us that lived over it, and I lost a lot of friends during that time and before that time, within the 2 years period that I was there. And I wear black in honor of their passing, that they gave their life for the country. And I carry them with me everywhere I sing. That's why I wear black. I've gone to a lot of funerals, and I've held a lot of people in my arms when they passed. And I wrote a lot of different songs. I wrote a song about General MacArthur, and I wrote a song, "The Eyes of a Soldier," and "Long Black Wall," and "Where Old Glory Flies," and "Going in the Wind." Those are all military type songs that I've wrote. And of course, I wrote a lot of songs that weren't military songs. I wrote a few gospel songs and a few country songs. And I enjoy writing music, but I enjoy performing more than I do writing. And I also perform other people's songs that they wrote. My cousin Ben Franks, which is Tillman Ben Franks Jr., he's a great songwriter, and I performed a lot of his music, and he's performed a lot of mine also. So we go different places, and it's.
Now you told me you're going to be working on a gospel album.
Yes, we're going to do a gospel album. I wrote a song called "The Keeper of the Bible," and I want to feature that out, and I want to do some old-time gospel. I want to do "Amazing Grace" that Randy Travis just got through singing. He didn't cut it, but I want to recut it, and I want to recut "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder." And my uncle wrote a song called "How Far Is Heaven," and I want to recut that song. It's gonna be Kitty Wells' song, "How Far Is Heaven," that my uncle wrote a long time ago. Kitty Wells was known as the queen of country music, and she did a great job on "How Far Is Heaven," and I'm gonna recut that, I really, really, really want to do a full gospel album before it's over. I've done just about everything but that.
Now, you said you lost your backup singer, and you're looking for somebody else.
I have plenty of backup singers. I lost Tina, and here a couple of months ago, and I guess that was the hardest thing. I started to quit singing when I lost her, because she was the one that, after my stroke, kept harping at me, "Eddie, you can't quit. You got to keep going. You got to do this, and you got to keep going." But and we did. We did a couple of shows together after my stroke, and losing her in a car accident. Some guy hit her. They were stopped in traffic, and this guy evidently was texting or something. He never hit his brakes. He hit her at 90 miles an hour in the rear end and killed him. And broke her neck instantly. She died. She did a great job with me singing. You were telling me about the funniest thing I ever did singing on the road. Larry Hawkins asked me to sing in a graveyard. He managed the graveyard, and he had this Elvis impersonator that they were going to bring back, and we were going to bring Elvis back from the grave there in a candlelight service. And I was just asking me to sing in a graveyard. I've never sung in a graveyard. A lot of people showed up, but the live ones did. But the dead ones, they couldn't get up and leave if they didn't like my singing, so they had to sit there and listen to it. So it was really, really, really funny. We sung in a mausoleum, and that was the strangest thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah, it's got to be strange. I don't even like going to a graveyard. It just, you know, I just feel like there's nobody really there anyway. You know, they've all moved on. But, you know, so, but I wanted to play The Keeper of the Bible, you know, because you were talking about your gospel album that you're coming out with. And, you know, if you're looking, I mean, I don't know, are you looking for singers, or what are you doing on that?
Oh, I've got plenty of singing. Jennifer Sutton Igo, she sings back up. She was singing back up with me in that Shadows in the Wind. I've got plenty of. I'm really not looking for anybody to back up sing. We've got professional women that sing with me, but if there are a few women that have that sing fairly well that can hang with me, I don't turn nobody down, and I don't forget
now
about
I,
nobody.
Now I know you have some other band members that you work with. If you want to give a shout out for them, you know, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, Dexter Mathis is not just a band member. He does a lot for me. He narrates a lot of my music and helps me out a lot. My cousin Ben Franks, he's a great guy. Kent Gill is a fiddle player. He was played the fiddle with David Houston, I'd like to say hi to Kent. He's played with me quite a bit before. There's a lot of them out there that are. Dean Mathis plays a piano for me. Great guy. He played with the New Beach. He was real famous for the song "I Like Bread and Butter, I Like Toast and Jam." He plays a piano. Great. He plays a piano like Floyd Kramer. I don't know if you.
I remember that song. I like bread, but yeah, something like that. I don't know if I'm singing or whatever, but
yeah,
I remember that song.
Yeah, it was a great song. It was a big hit. At the same time, the Beatles were coming out with all their stuff, and he did a great job.
Well, rock and roll kind of pushed a lot of people to the side. You know, when rock and roll came, it was like, a lot of people were falling, you know, and they were like, wow, what happened? You know, it just became very popular, you know. But
yeah.
I'm going to play the Keeper of the Bible so they can hear some of your gospel music. Here it is.
Okay.
He preached the word throughout this land on Jesus. He did rely. Passed the Bible along, were the last words he cried. Go and tell the world he's still alive. Take this Bible, let it be your guide. Go and preach the word to the countryside. Go and tell the world he's still alive. To the keeper of this Bible, to the seeker of his word, to the founder of his love that he placed upon this earth, of this Bible, the subscriber to his word, and the one that finds his love, you have more, more, more than gold is worth. Let it be your guide. Go and preach the word to the countryside. Go and tell the world he's still alive. To the keeper of this Bible, salvation's at their side. To the seeker of his word, you can find everlasting life. To the keeper of this Bible, who has sowed seeds from above, your reward is your salvation and everlasting love. Billy was a preacher man till the day he died. Passed the Bible on, were the last words he cried.
Go and tell the world he's still alive. Go and tell the world he's still alive. Go and tell the world he's still alive. Go and tell the world.
That song tricked me too, because it said 4 minutes and 32 seconds, and it was only 3 minutes and 53 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of my songs are over 3 minutes. That one you were talking about, that old man and a dog, is over 4 minutes. So.
I love that song. What happened? I must have forgot. I've had a cold. My throat was killing me. I slept through a whole day. You know, it was like, I don't remember all the songs. I had like sometimes, I call it sometimers, where I kind of like sometimes forget, you know, like those moments where you like walk into the kitchen and go, okay, why did I come in here? But, you know, that kind of stuff. But definitely you have to hear this song. I mean, it's so full of emotion, and I've never had a song make me cry. and I literally cried. And I really wanted to have that on the show, but that is okay. You still got all this other great music. I mean, how many songs do you have?
Oh, I don't know how many I've recorded. I really don't. There's probably about 50 out there on the internet sites. I've got some that probably that I've recorded that probably aren't even out there. Some old 45s and stuff. But
you've been on the radio too. You said you had a couple of hits. What were the name of the hits?
Yeah, I've had about three hits. Going Into Wind was a hit. The Long Black Wall was a hit, and the Unknown Soldier was a hit too.
Now you can find that video on YouTube also, The Long Black Wall.
Oh yeah, you can find all them on YouTube. You should be able to find them all on YouTube.
But people need to support our musicians. They don't, all this free music that's just handed out to people. Come on, people. You can afford $1.29 or 99 cents for a download. You know, show your support for these musicians. They've worked hard all their life, you know, to play great music, you know, songs from their heart. My fingers are sore. I just got my guitars today. I haven't played in years. And, wow, my fingers are sore. I can't even type right now with my left hand. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into making music. I know you were telling me about just recording one song, the song Angel on the Top of the Tree. It cost you $10,000 to record that.
A little bit more than $10,000, about $11,000 to record it. It's paying each musician. I used a whole orchestra to do that song. That song I wrote about my wife. She died of cancer, and I had to write that song, Angel on Top of a Tree. It was at Christmas time, and the kids, it was just me and the kids decorating the tree. And Linda always told me that she didn't want a star on top of the tree. She wanted an angel to watch over us. And I went from there and wrote the song.
I'm going to play that. If you don't mind, I'm going to let people hear this beautiful song.
Okay.
We've only got like so many minutes left. We had like 12 minutes left, 13 minutes left of the show. So this one says it's 4 minutes and 55 seconds.
Yeah,
so
it's long.
Okay, let's see what this sounds like. I mean, $11,000. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
You got to help these. You got to support musicians. Here we go.
I place
the angel on top
of the tree.
When I look at the angel of I remember our first Christmas. It was just you and me. When I bought a star for the top of the tree, and you said,
how could a star watch over you and me?
I want an angel on top of the tree. Now I know you're looking down from heaven above. When I look at the angel, I can feel your sweet. Then I think, how can a star watch over our family? I want an angel on top of the tree. I know you're an angel in heaven looking down on this family, and it gives me peace on this Christmas Eve. And when I look at that angel on top of the tree, I know you're that angel watching over this family.
Merry Christmas. I love you.
I grew up on that type of quality in music, and that's why I mentioned you as a quality style country music musician, because things were wholesome at one time, you know, a lot of love and purity, and you know, mostly everybody was a Christian, and that just brings back, I mean, it brings back my childhood type thing, you know, as compared to music that we hear to today, you know. It's just not the same. I mean, I really wish it would come back. It would help a lot of people. People have really been left astray with, you know, imagery, you know. But, I mean, I have to admit, I get into rock and roll and all that other stuff, too, but it's not really helping society all that much. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love rock and roll. I mean, I've listened to a lot of hardcore rock and rollers, heavy metal and stuff like that, but it didn't affect me like it affected a lot of people, you know. I don't know. It's, I guess it's where your head's at, how music's going to affect you. But, you know, to hear this stuff is like hearing something that, you know, was out there all the time during the 60s, you know.
Yeah, it was. I wish we could stay in the 60s. But, and people keep telling me, Eddie, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. And I've never gave up on it. That's the problem. I can't sing the new stuff, and I won't. This is all I can do, and this is what I do. And I'm going to keep doing it. I'm gonna, and there's a lot of people out there that do great, great music. The Rosberries, Robin Rosberry, should have probably been one of the greatest singers there ever was. Norman Wade sung exactly like Hank Williams. He taught Hank Williams Jr. how to sing like his daddy. People like that, that never got a chance. I wrote that song, Old Man and a Dog, for Red Sabine. Red Sabine never had a big hit. He had Giddy Up Go and Teddy Bear and recitations like that. And I wrote that song, that one you liked that made you cry, Old Man and a Dog, for Red.
Maybe
he never had a big hit.
Because I probably would have started crying on the show because, but go ahead, I'm listening.
It takes talent to get out there, and a lot of people's got talent. The big companies nowadays, they don't know what talent is. They think they want to sell to the younger kids and the younger generation that comes up and likes that fast beat and the hip hop and all the other stuff. And I got some great hip hop friends. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I like them. I just don't care for their music, but I'm always going to do my music the way that I do it, and I grew up with it, and I'm never going to change doing it. It takes a different kind of talent, and a lot of people. I have people all the time, Eddie. I wish I could sing like you. I wish I could write music like you. You can. If I can do it, anybody can do it. It's just that you can't give up on it. You have to keep at it and keep practicing. If you don't practice doing it and you don't keep doing it, you'll lose it. Just like anything else. With this stroke that I had, I found out how quick you could lose it, and I had to come back for it. I got struck by lightning. A lot of people, if you go on my site, you'll see pictures of me with lightning. That's like I was paralyzed for 2 years. I had to come back again after that and get back at it. I was bayoneted in Vietnam. I had a bayonet run clean through me from the back to the stomach. And I had to come back after that. You can't give up on country music, and I never will. That's the way it is.
Well, you're definitely not a quitter, and you've been very interesting to listen to. I know we spoke a couple times over the phone, and it's just like I'm just sitting here with a big smile on my face because, the stories that you tell and your songs. I did listen to more songs. I just can't have them. I mean, I had planned to play They Don't Ride Horses No More, but we ran out of time. But some of your songs, I mean, I've listened to them. I didn't really pick the best of the best. I picked the ones that, had your name on it because of Blog Talk Radio's rules.
Yeah.
That, I have to make sure that, the copywritten is okay, whatever. And you told me afterward that all your songs, even with the other singers and other musicians, you still have copyrights on those songs. So
I have copyrights on all the
really
songs. Even the songs other singers wrote, I've got permission to do them, and I have the right to do them. All of them, I had a hand in the music. I wrote the music for all of them that's out there. Ben Franks has wrote quite a few of the music that was on there, too. So, you still with me, or did I lose you?
Yep. We've got 57, 56, 55 seconds left to the show. If there's anything that you want to end the show with, here's your time.
Well, I'll tell you that there's a lot of people out there that's in the business now and trying to make it into the business. And my advice to them is don't give up. If you have talent and you know you're good, don't give up. you're the one that knows it's good. You can't listen to anybody else that says, hey, that's no good. You're the one that's got to do it, and you're the one that's got to get out there and perform. I don't care what kind of music you're doing. You got to get out there and perform to do it. It's not getting depressed and keep on going. I could have been depressed many, many, many times and just gave up and quit.
The show ended. It's the end of the show. I don't even think you're on air anymore, but I want to thank you for being on the show.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll be talking to you soon.
If you call me, I'll get your address. I'll send you some CDs.
No, you don't have to do that. I'll talk to you later. Let me end the episode. You have a great night.
Okay, you too. All right, bye-bye.